We lift our requests and our needs, as we have here tonight, with some folks who have shared prayer requests. As we pray, we confess our sins. And when we confess our sins to God, we must be very mindful to forgive others who've sinned against us. For the Lord made it very clear in that prayer that he taught his disciples that forgiveness of prayer from God is tied to our willingness to forgive others for their trespasses against us. We pray for deliverance, that God would deliver us from evil and deliver us from temptations and deliver us from harmful ways and hedge us about with the hedge of protection like Satan tried to get to Job. And he told God, you put a hedge of protection about him and I can't get to him. And if you'll take that hedge down and then let me do something to him, then he'll deny you. And Job didn't deny the Lord. And we don't want God to take the hedge down from us. We're praying he'll keep the hedge about us and protect us. And then we need to offer our praise unto God. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Verse 2 says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you look back at verse 18 in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. This ministry that we have, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. This ministry, you go back to verse 11 through 18 in chapter 3, and verse 11 says, for that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. We have a glorious ministry that God has given unto us, and we need to see it as such. It's revealed to us that God's Word helps us, that what we focus on, as he said in chapter 3, verse 18, we can be changed into. If we study and read the Word of God and focus on God's ministry and the Word of God, we can be changed more and more into the image of Christ. God is working on us to help us to become more and more like Christ. And the heathen back in the Old Testament focused on idols, and the Bible says their focus made them like those idols. I want to read to you from Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Excuse me. I have allergies pretty bad. All right, I'm back on. Psalm 115 says the same thing in verse 1 through 8. That it says in Psalm 135 in verse 15 through 18 about idols. I want to read a little more from Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. So the idol worshiper becomes like his idol, dumb and without the knowledge of God and unable to speak for God. Now, we have a glorious ministry to teach the Word of God and to help people learn to focus on the right things, focus on the Lord and His Word. People do become like what they focus on. Kids often develop heroes, celebrities. If they like sports, it's football, baseball, whatever it may be, and they'll emulate sports figures when they play sports. I can remember when I was a young kid, Walt Disney used to come on Sunday night on television, black and white TV back in those days, and they had a program about a man. I think it went several weeks, and it was about a man by the name of Alfago La Vaca, and I guess he was from Mexico, and he was supposed to be the man with nine lives. And all of us kids in the neighborhood where I live, we all played Alfago La Vaca. We thought we were a man with nine lives. We'd take vines and swing across the creek and do all kind of dangerous, foolish stuff, run across the road in front of a car or something, and we wouldn't worry about it because we had nine lives. We were like Alfago La Vaca. And then when I got 13, my dad bought me a horse, and I became Roy Rogers and John Wayne. And I'd back that horse up into cedar trees, and my brother-in-law would come down the dirt road to go visit my sister, and I'd fly out and outrun him down to the house, you know, and I could just imagine myself as a cowboy riding the horse. And then when I got about 16, I got a car, and I thought I was Richard Petty until the highway patrol helped me realize that I was not. So if I was going to drive like that, I had to find a racetrack to drive on, not on the state highway. But I was emulating those people I had my focus on. I'm thankful that when God saved us, my wife and I got into church faithfully and in the Word of God and into the ministry the Lord led us. And we've sought to become like Christ since we put our focus on Him and the Bible. Now, a phrase is repeated twice in 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 1 says, because we have received mercy, we faint not. And then if you look all the way down in verse 16, says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So it repeats this phrase, we faint not. We have received a glorious ministry from the Lord. Therefore, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't cease to do the work that God has given us to do. Now, we'll face many adversaries. We'll face many discouragements, things that can cause us hardship. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, the Apostle Paul wrote from Ephesus back to Corinth, and he said, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. If you serve the Lord, there will be adversaries. Whether our ministry is glorious, as the Bible says, is a fact of the Scripture. But no matter how much we're enjoying the gloriousness of our ministry, there's going to be adversaries working against us. In 1 Corinthians 16, in verse 9 and 10, Paul said that about the great door. In verse 9, verse 10, he said, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Now, Timothy was an emissary for the Apostle Paul. I looked that word up. I thought that sounded appropriate. I thought it would fit as one who was sent out by another. And I looked up that word, and it can mean an undercover agent, an emissary of another, working for someone else, sent out with a mission. And that's what Timothy was doing for Paul. It wasn't necessarily undercover, but he would go and preach and represent Paul. Paul left him at the church at Ephesus as the pastor. When he wrote 1st, 2nd Timothy, he wrote to him to teach him how to treat people and how to preach the gospel and stand firm in the faith. Now, Paul's letter to Corinth in chapter 16 and down in verse 13, he closes this chapter of the scripture with five imperatives. He said, first in verse 13, watch ye. Be watchful. Be alert to what's happening around us. Be alert knowing what God's will is. Peter wrote about Satan as our adversary. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because Satan, as your adversary, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're to be watchful about the enemy, watchful about the Lord's will, watchful about temptations. In Mark 14:38, Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Romans 13:14, Paul said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So putting on Christ, focusing on Him, recognizing the glorious truth of His ministry, and seeking to serve the Lord, and so we're not led astray by temptations, and that we guard ourselves watching in strength. If we don't watch and guard ourselves in the Christian life, we can easily become apathetic to the condition that people are in. People around us are lost and need to be saved, and we cannot be apathetic to their need. We must try to preach the gospel to them. We must not be indifferent. Just because I'm saved and my family's saved, I must not become indifferent to others who need the gospel. Being insensitive to what God is doing all over the world to send forth missionaries or whatever it may be, we've got a glorious ministry. We need to try to be a part of what God is doing. We must not neglect studying the Scripture and being diligent in the things of God. Now, he said that we must be alert to false teachers. Peter warned in 2 Peter 2:1, he said that in the past there were false prophets. He said, even so as there shall be false teachers among you. In 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy and said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So he wanted Timothy to preach the word in power. We got to be watchful for Christ's return, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and recognizing the glorious ministry that God has given us. So we're to be watchful. Secondly, we're to stand fast in the faith. Jude said that we are to earnestly contend for the faith once for all given, and we are to be aware of the issues all around us. Philippians 1:27, Paul said, I want to hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, not terrified of your adversaries. It's important that as Christians we know what we believe and that we know why we believe it. We're not supposed to believe it just because the preacher said it. We're not supposed to believe it just because our mom and dad did. We need to know from the Word of God we believe what the Bible says, that we believe what God has for us to believe. And it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it, and we stand firm in the faith. There's a third imperative, and that's, he said, quit ye like men. It has an emphasis of being a man. Be mature. Be the man you should be with courage and dedication, and don't quit. 1 Corinthians 14:20, he said, be not children. And in 1 Corinthians 3, he rebuked Corinth because of their immaturity and their lack of depth of knowledge of the Scriptures. The natural process for us once we're saved is to grow, just like the natural process of a baby born grows to the point of maturity. Sometimes when they're a baby in diapers, you don't think they'll ever grow up. And then the next thing you know, you turn around and you're ready to graduate from high school or running off to get married. Jacob graduated from college, and he's going to run off in June and get married. But fortunately, he's going to bring a girl back here. He's not going out there to stay. The natural process. Peter said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's a fourth imperative in this passage in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, to be strong. To be strong. Ephesians 6, 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It takes strength, it takes courage, it takes commitment to be a servant of God in this glorious ministry that he has given us. Paul wrote in chapter 9, verse 25, that we're to be like athletes, that we're to self-discipline, that we're to train. The athletes do it for a temporary award or reward, and we're doing it for an eternal crown with the Lord. He told Timothy to make full proof of thy ministry. I heard that explained one time by a preacher that he said it's like putting grain in a sack, and then you pick the sack up and shake it and drop it and make the grain settle and you put more in it. And we're to make full proof of our ministry. We're to fill it to overflowing and continue to add into it. We don't ever want to quit getting people saved, baptized, becoming a part of the church. We're not trying to achieve a certain number and then stop. We want to keep reaching people as long as God will allow us. Psalm 27, 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Try not to cough. Y'all will be trying to put your mask on in front of the TV screen if I do that. Excuse me. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Now most people know what verse 31 says. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Go back and read from verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You have a glorious ministry, and God will strengthen you for the task at hand. If you want to serve God, remember, he supplies the strength. It's his ministry. He does the saving. Our job is to be mailmen. Just carry the message and give it to people. God wrote the message, and God will save those that believe in him. Now, there could be many reasons in life that we could get discouraged about the ministry. We've got to keep the right focus. Keep coming back to the fact that God's on the throne and God's all-powerful and we're doing what God would have us to do, and we've got to trust him with the results. Seeing we have this ministry, he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because it's God's ministry, it's glorious. It's glorious because through the ministry, people get saved. In 40 years, we've had quite a few people trust Christ as Savior through the ministry of this church. Sometimes it's in the children's ministries, in Master Club or Junior Church or Sunday School. My oldest son has told me a dozen times that Miss Cindy led him to Christ when he was in her Sunday school class, around 4 years of age. and he still knows for sure that he's saved today, and he looks back to that time where he prayed and asked the Lord to save him and forgive him. And there's been many that she's led to Christ, teaching here for a long time with that young age. My wife led many 5-year-olds to Christ in the Christian school kindergarten class that she taught over the years. It's a glorious ministry because missionaries are sent out. We support 45 missionaries who travel all over the world, start churches and ministries, and we often think the sun never sets on the ministry of a church that has a mission program, because when we're going to bed tonight, some other folks will be getting up in another part of the world. Quite often on Sunday morning, I'll come in my office and check my emails real quick, and there'll be an email there on Sunday morning from Brother Green in Taiwan. And you see, he'd already preached on Sunday in Taiwan and had people saved before we get up here on Sunday to come to church to preach. And so the gospel's going around the world, and that's a glorious ministry. It's glorious because it transforms lives. It's glorious because it strengthens marriages and homes and individuals' lives. When God saved me, I was an avid drinker. And when God saved me, he took the taste away from me, and I've never had another drink of alcohol. And I went home and poured out what I had at home. And by God's grace, God saved me from that, and I've never gone back into it in all these years. Not because I'm strong, but by the grace of God and what he's done for me and many others. How we see our ministry will determine our commitment to fulfill it. We'll look at it, folks teaching classes and working in the church. It can become a hardship at times, but we must not focus on it being a hardship. We must focus on it being God's glorious ministry that we have a privilege to be a part of. It's not a punishment. Paul, thank God, before all this he went through, from the time he got saved on the Damascus Road until he wrote 2 Timothy 4:7-8 about his prepared, he was ready to be offered to the Lord and go to heaven. And he wrote in 1 Timothy 1:11-12 that he was thankful God had counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. And what a ministry he had. But boy, you go to 2 Corinthians 11 and read what he went through, being beaten 5 times with 39 stripes, imprisoned, beaten 3 times with rods, shipwreck, a night and day in the deep. That was just up until he wrote that part of the scriptures. His ministry went on from there, and he eventually probably lost his life for serving Christ. But he was thankful that God placed him in the ministry. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So keep working, keep serving. It's a glorious ministry that you're a part of. Paul chose to do what's right and stay truthful and faithful, even though he had many hardships to deal with. At times, there were those that thought Paul was the greatest thing they'd ever heard because they believed on Christ and got saved. But he cautioned them not to look to him or give him glory, but that all glory belongs unto the Lord. He didn't seek to make disciples of Paul. He sought to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, we're to share the treasure of this ministry, the gospel message, with the world around us. Let us pray and submit ourselves to God, thankful that he would allow us to be a part of his glorious ministry. Let's exalt God. He is holy. Hallowed be thy name, Father. Worship from the heart with love and appreciation in our service to God. Whatever we do for the Lord, is little to nothing, my friends, compared to what God has done for us. Worship from the heart. Love and appreciate God. Seek His will to be done. And the Lord's Prayer, it's not our will getting done in heaven, it's getting God's will done on earth. Ask for what we need. If God, if we're busy serving the Lord, He'll supply everything we need to keep serving Him. It's not always everything we want, but He'll supply what we need. We are to confess when we fail and sin, seek His strength and deliverance from temptation, and we're to offer Him our praise and thanksgiving. So please remember your prayer list tonight. Pray for these folks that might be in pain and suffering. Pete goes to the doctor tomorrow. Brother Jacob's going to be taking him in the morning. I plan to come into the office tomorrow morning, and Jacob's going to pick Pete up real early and take him to Charlotte to his doctor's appointment. So pray that all goes well there. They have safety in their travel, and the doctor gives Pete some good, continued good word about his leg. And pray that he'll have patience to stay off of it as long as he needs to get well. And be faithful to encourage folks. Some of you have been calling one another and checking on one another. I encourage you to do that. Send folks a card. And if you don't do anything else, get on your knees at night and pray for your church people and these folks that have sickness and illness. And let's pray for our leaders in our country and leaders of the church. I need your prayers for certain, that God would strengthen me and guide me in what I am to say and do. Now, I look forward to this coming Sunday night. Brother Jacob's going to be speaking. And Sunday morning, Lord willing, I'll be speaking, and Jacob will speak Sunday night. So looking forward to hearing his message. And hope you'll remember to pray for him and our missionaries too. We have a lot of missionaries to pray for in a lot of different countries. Most of them are on the same kind of lockdown we are. Brother Sladenhoffen in South Africa is, and several have written about it. But Brother Green in Taiwan, they are able to have service in Taiwan, but everybody has to wear a mask to go and have service. And so far, none of his immediate church people have the virus or anything, so we're thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people in watching tonight. I ask you to bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. Help us to realize we have a glorious ministry that you've allowed us to be a part of. We have a glorious future in heaven. So help us to be busy laboring and serving while we're waiting on you taking us home. And Lord, receive our thanks and praise, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.